This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Live younger, look younger, feel younger at GCNLife.com.
Welcome to the Corlin Economics Report, a weekly look at financial and political topics relating to asset-based investing. Guests on this program pay no fees to appear, and guests and hosts disclose any equity interest in companies' profile. Now, the Corlin Economics Report.
Hey everyone, welcome into the weekend edition of the KE Report. My name is Corey Fleck and I am your host for this first hour where we will focus a lot on the financial markets, a lot on the U.S. equity markets, as well as dabble a little bit into some of the precious metals stocks that a couple of our commentators like and a couple takeaways from all those conferences that just took place in Vancouver. I am kicking off this show with Jesse Felder, founder and editor of the Felder Report. Now, Jesse, throughout at least the first few weeks of this year, I've noticed you've been writing a lot about the stock market and volatility. The stock market just continues to grind higher. You and I are recording this late in the day on Wednesday, so barring any major shocks to the market, one trend has been higher for the markets in about the last 4 months, and volatility remains very depressed. What are your thoughts on the stock market? Seems like right now it's climbing almost a wall of worry because there are so many people saying this rally is so extended. Where and when is this correction going to come?
Yeah, there's a couple different, there's tons of indicators I look at for the stock market, but in terms of volatility, there are a couple things that really caught my eye recently. I look at the divergences between stock prices and volatility, both on a short term and a long term, to kind of, send up a warning flag. And I think we've seen it in short term and long term on the VIX. One of the things I look at is 10-day correlation between the VIX and the S&P 500. And when it goes positive, like significantly positive, that's usually a pretty good sell signal. We saw that at the top in early 2018 before stocks rolled over. We saw it again in the fall of 18 before that fourth quarter decline. We saw it before a brief sell-off in the late spring, early summer last year, and we've seen another signal just trigger in the last week or two on a short-term basis. Longer term, it's interesting to see that stocks are making new highs. The VIX is not making new lows, and that's usually a longer-term sign that volatility kind of, like I said, throwing up the warning flag. The VIX should be making new lows when stocks make new highs, and that's just not the case right now. But those are just kind of real technical things. From a fundamental standpoint, one of the things I've been watching for a couple of years now, since I first heard Stan Druckenmiller talk about it, was he calls his economic predictors, and it's basically the relative performance of sectors like retail, transportation, mining, and that sort of stuff. And when you see the relative performance of those sectors go real negative, that's a bad sign for the economy. Right now, stocks are pushing to new highs and been soaring to new highs since, essentially, early October when the Fed started money printing. And the relative performance of these sectors is hitting new multi-year lows. And so this very much is kind of a signal similar to the Dow theory, where you see the Dow Industrials hitting new highs, the transportation's average is not hitting new highs. And, Charles Dow wrote about this as more of an economic index than a stock market index. Essentially the economy is not doing nearly as well as the stock market suggests. So there's, some signs, there's a few other signs, technical and sentiment signs that I look at the stock market, that are telling me that we could be close to, a reversal, in the stock market. And with fundamentals so poor relative to prices, that reversal could be pretty, swift.
So sentiment, yes, it is at extreme levels. Technicals, you look at a weekly chart of the S&P, which I'm on right now, and we are in pretty aggressive overbought territory, and something like the RSI, the Relative Strength Index, closing in on some highs that we saw after that 2017 aggressive run, and then the volatility throughout 2018. As much as these are showing that the markets are overheated and the fundamentals, the economy still not booming, how much does this also have to do with central banks, even the Fed, remaining easy, continuing to expand their balance sheet, and essentially just keep liquidity within the markets?
I mean, that's absolutely, you watch, you know, all the interviews in Davos, and I don't care who they've talked to, Paul Tudor Jones, whatever, everyone's saying it's a liquidity-driven rally. And so that is absolutely the narrative that traders are latching onto. Fed is printing money, and so market goes up. But, you know, there were times, there are plenty of times when, you know, the markets don't respond to Fed actions, and that's usually during a bear market. And so you have to, you know, so long as investors are willing to accept risk, this liquidity can be supportive of asset prices. But another thing I look at is risk appetites, and you look at what sectors are investors going to, and they should not be going to staples and utilities right now. That's not a sign of a healthy bull market. I mean, they should be going to more higher beta sectors. So, you know, with sentiment so extreme, you know, you see things like risk parity, equity exposure just hit its highest level in history. Hedge fund leverage hit its highest level in history. A lot of the dry powder that was, you know, that would push prices higher has been used up, and that's why it's valuable. I think look at some of these sentiment extremes. Once you're starting to see 90% plus bulls, you know, things like the daily sentiment index and these types of things, it means we're very late in this rally. And then when you get DeMarc sequential sell signals in a daily and weekly time frame like we're seeing, to me it's a warning flag that this liquidity driven rally is potentially running out of steam.
So one thing I also find interesting is that money hasn't flown only into, say, the risk-on or U.S. equity markets. We have seen treasuries do fairly well. Gold has also done fairly well and is trading in a higher range right now. So it hasn't just been money landing in risk-on. Do you think that protects investors a little bit or limits the market downside because it hasn't been just only focused on the equity markets?
Well, I think, you know, this probably gets into the next topic you want to discuss, which is the dollar. A lot of the reason why, you know, corporate bonds and treasuries and, you know, all of these things have held up so well is that, you know, Japanese and European investors have been desperate to escape negative interest rates. And so money has flown into, you know, like Japanese insurance companies, for example, have to hold bonds, but they don't have to hold Japanese bonds. And so when the Bank of Japan, you know, through its own quantitative easing, buys up their Japanese bonds that they're holding, they're going to come to the United States and buy high-yield bonds, corporate bonds, you know, those types of things, leveraged loans. And so they still own debt. But that's why we're seeing spreads, you know, so narrow, on things like junk bonds, is because European and Japanese investors have been pouring money into our markets. But with the Fed essentially being forced to monetize the debt through buying treasuries and rescuing the repo market right now, you know, that could put real pressure on the dollar at some point. And all these investors that have come into our markets here to, you know, in search of yield, are a lot of them are doing it unhedged for currency. So if the dollar starts to roll over, you know, that demand for U.S. assets could quickly reverse the other direction where, you know, Japanese and European investors go, wait a second, I'm getting, you know, 3%, 4%, 5% yield, but the dollar just fell 5% this quarter, wiping out all my yield for the year. You could see, so that's why I've said this year is really the year to watch the dollar.
All right, Jesse, we're going to have to wrap it up for the radio show, but you and I are going to continue our discussion. For everyone listening on the radio, to hear the full conversation with Jesse and I, please visit our website, kereport.com, or on our podcast, Corlin Economics Report. That's where you can get the full interview as Jesse and I do continue to discuss some of the money flows within these markets. Everyone stick around. I'm going to be right back with Chris Temple.
Al Corlin's firm, A.B. Corlin & Associates Incorporated, provides consulting services to public companies on matters of regulatory compliance. To find out more, follow the link from www.kereport.com. The Corlin Economics Report will be back after this brief timeout.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Would you like to get back that full head of hair from years past? Now, there is Reveal. Beverly Hills celebrity dermatologist Dr. Nathan Newman took nearly a decade to develop Reveal from natural botanicals to return to a full body head of hair. Reveal for men and women with a 30-day money-back guarantee at GCNLife.com or toll-free 844-443-6637. 844-443-6637. Reveal at GCNLife.com.
If you have diabetes and you're on Medicare, Medicaid, or have private insurance, you may qualify for a new continuous glucose monitor. Managing your diabetes is crucial to your health. The new CGM can automatically and easily help you manage your diabetes more effectively. And by using a CGM, you can eliminate the one thing most people with diabetes dislike the most, finger sticks. Now you can automatically manage your diabetes and end the painful finger sticks. Solara Medical Supplies makes it simple for you to have a new CGM. We'll do all the insurance paperwork for you and deliver the newest in diabetic care technology right to your door. Take charge of your diabetes today with the help of a new continuous glucose monitor. Call now to learn more.
800-547-5331. 800-547-5331. 800-547-5331. That's 800-547-5331.
This is George Norrie from Coast to Coast AM and History Channel's Ancient Aliens. We support the amazing energy, nutrition, and skincare products from Jeunesse. Jeunesse products are designed by leading doctors in their field with natural ingredients and even stem cell technology. These products help your body perform and look better. Shop Jeunesse at GCNLife.com or call 1-844-443-6637. GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637.
Join me, George Norrie, in Indian Wells, California, for the 8th Annual Contact in the Desert UFO Conference, May 29th to June 1st. Contact in the Desert is an epic weekend of adventure filled with exciting explorations into UFOs, ancient alien civilizations, crop circles, forbidden archaeology, disclosure, leading-edge science, and the newest evidence of ongoing contact, sightings, and leading-edge science. This amazing weekend offers lectures and workshops, exciting panels, and a luncheon that I'm hosting. Contact in the Desert also features leading experts including Linda Moulton Howe, Paul Hellyer, Stephen Greer, Emery Smith, Russell Targ, Doc Wallach, Leslie Kane, and many important researchers and scientists from all over the world. With the breaking articles in the New York Times and acknowledged naval sightings, Contact in the Desert is your place for inside information. Join us at contactinthedesert.com to get your tickets today. It's time to make contact. That's contactinthedesert.com. Contactinthedesert.com.
Let me ask you something. What are you doing when you put money in a 401k or IRA, or store jumper cables in your vehicle, or purchase health insurance? You're preparing. You're preparing to ensure you have enough money for retirement. You're preparing for when your car battery dies, or to have assistance paying a major unexpected medical bill. That all makes sense. The same goes for building a food storage plan. You're preparing for when emergencies or disasters strike and shelves go empty at your grocery store. The best way to prepare is with My Patriot Supply. They've helped a million hardworking Americans become more self-sufficient. My Patriot Supply sells hundreds of items, including dozens of emergency food kits, at MyPatriotSupply.com. It could be an earthquake, a cyber attack freezing our banking system, or a disaster that shuts down our power grid for weeks. For all these emergencies and more, get your supplies and prepare today at MyPatriotSupply.com. No more rushing to find empty store shelves because you're too late. Do it now so you're ready. MyPatriotSupply.com.
weekly fix on finance and investing. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
All right, welcome back. Continuing to listen to the first hour of the weekend edition of the KE Report. And I hope everybody enjoyed that initial conversation with Jesse Felder. And just as a reminder, if you are listening on the radio, please visit our website to listen to the full extended interview. In this segment, I am chatting with Chris Temple, founder and editor of The National Investor. Now, Chris, you and I chat throughout the week about market moves and general directions. We actually had a very interesting conversation touching or focusing on the bond market and yields in the U.S. on Thursday. So in this segment for the weekend show, let's circle back around to the Federal Reserve and the two nominees that President Trump just put forward, one being Judy Shelton, the other being Chris Waller. Take us through your thoughts first and foremost on Judy Shelton, please.
Well, before I do her specifically, you know, several months ago when both of these names were first floated, they, if you remember, Corey, replaced two names that pretty much were laughed at when President Trump first wanted to fill a couple of vacancies on the Fed's Board of Governors. He mentioned the names of Stephen Moore, who's a supply-side economics guru, head of the Club for Growth, and Herman Cain, who was a one-time presidential candidate, a very successful businessman. He had actually worked in a different capacity with the Fed in years past. I think Cain was a half-serious nominee. To me, Stephen Moore was a joke as a nominee. They were both kind of political choices, and they went nowhere. So they got withdrawn. And he mentioned that he was looking at both Judy Shelton and Chris Waller, and he formalized those nominations several days ago. And here's what's noteworthy about those, and I will start with Judy Shelton. Judy Shelton is someone who I met her years ago at a Cato Institute meeting in Washington where she spoke, and she was very widely recognized for a long time as an advocate for the gold standard and for sound money. She is anything but that now as an advisor to President Trump. I would compare it, and I don't say this to be personally unkind or even professionally, it's just the nature of the beast, and we're at the end game for fractional reserve banking, and everybody involved needs to figure out some new trick to keep this whole skyscraper cards from falling down. So Judy Shelton today, Corey, is in favor of traditionally sound money and gold like she used to be, in much the same way that Greenspan years ago was an advocate of the gold standard, then unleashed unregulated derivatives and historic money printing on the world. Judy Shelton's in favor of the gold standard and the sound money like President Trump as a candidate was going to get us out of all of these foreign rat holes, and now brags about record military spending. So, you know, it's kind of what they have to do. But I will say this, and this is going to be a very entertaining and interesting debate going forward, both when those two are looked at by the Senate and vetted to be on the board, as well as assuming they get on there, and I believe they will, what they do policy-wise, because as I've been saying to you for a while now, the Fed has got to come up with a new narrative. All the central bankers do. You know, that they've used up most of their ammunition for the last decade or so, printing all kinds of money, taking interest rates down to nothing more or less, and that with a whole heck of a lot to show for it as far as economies are concerned. They've got to figure out a new sales pitch. And between Dr. Shelton and between Chris Waller, who's at the St. Louis Fed, he is going to come at this new narrative from a somewhat different angle, but arrive at the same thing. You're going to hear a brand new sales pitch, not just quantitative easing that rains money down on the markets, and they hope some of it sticks to the economy, but they're going to articulate what we're already hearing in Europe, from Christine Lagarde, the new head of the European Central Bank. They're going to make it a lot more creative as to how they're going to try and be activists with monetary policy, but among other things, bring governments and fiscal spending more on board.
Very interesting. So do you think that a general shift could happen relatively soon once they do, assuming they do get confirmed to move into their Fed seats, that this change could happen? Also understanding that it doesn't sound like that's a change that the president would actually want.
Oh, the president, no, Corey, the president badly wants this change because it's going to give him what he's been pining for all along. He wants the Fed to be more activist. He wants them to cheapen the dollar. He wants them to print more and more money. And so, no, the very reason he's nominated both Dr. Shelton and Mr. Waller is because they have a fresh face to put on unlimited money printing, and one, and this is important, and we've talked about this before, one that will be more saleable, if you will, to the masses of people politically, because you know they've already printed all this money. It's as a first matter, it's money that has gone into markets and banks and so forth, enriched everybody on Wall Street, but not done a whole heck of a lot for Joe Sixpack and Sally Soccer Mom. And they're trying to figure out what to do to change that. And what they're going to do, and it's going to be through a variety of means, and we're already hearing this from the Fed and the other central banks, like I've said, is that they want to get governments on board. They want governments to borrow this money into existence. The money still comes out. The debts are still there and still accumulating until you have a final crack up one of these days down the road. But the difference will be that it will be pushed for housing, for infrastructure, for a variety of social and public needs, so that it's not just Wall Street punters and directional traders and hedge funds that are going to be benefiting from this with crumbs for everybody else, but they're going to spread it out.
Okay. Do you think they'll actually be able to succeed, though? Because this is, well, a change, a pretty drastic change of where money has been landing over the last 10-plus years.
I absolutely think that this is something that that could succeed if they sell it to the public correctly. Now, make no mistake, this does not change the overall dynamics of a day of reckoning still coming. But this is going to be one way, conceivably, that they can postpone it in a big way by broadening the benefits of all of this money printing so that, again, it gets to Joe Sixpack and Sally Soccer Mom. The guy that right now is driving Uber or delivering pizzas can go back to helping pave roads, rebuild schools, rebuild the power grid, build public housing, and all this kind of thing. You know, we've been in a world my entire adult and professional life where economic activity now doesn't start from the ground up. It starts from the top down with central banks printing money and continuing to do more and more of that. But as time is going on, each time you have one of these activist monetary interventions by the central banks, there's less and less to show for it.
All right, Chris, we're going to wrap it up there. Interesting comments, and let's see how this all plays out from the central bank's perspective. Appreciate you taking some time on this weekend. Have a great rest of your weekend, Chris. Everyone stick around. We're going to be right back, shifting our focus in the last two segments to a little more of the resource sector.
To find out more about today's guests, visit us on the web at www.kereport.com. You're listening to the Corlin Economics Report. We'll be back in a moment.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Advertising is simple. It starts with someone who has a need.
Mom!
And then gets more specific.
Mom, I want pizza.
Then we add urgency.
I want pizza tonight.
Before you know it, your GCN advertising message is reaching millions of listeners. Listeners who are definitely in need.
We want pizza!
You see, advertising on GCN is simple. Your message meets their need, and the result means new business for you. Tell us about your business, then let our super creative department go to work to craft just the right message to feed those who have an urgent need.
We want pizza tonight!
GCN has the most affordable national radio advertising rates, period. And millions of people listen to GCN radio programs on over 1,000 AM and FM and XM stations and streaming audio live. Get started today with GCN, the Genesis Communications Network. Just shoot us an email, advertise@GCNlive.com.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
The death toll from the newly discovered coronavirus in China has risen to 41 on the day of the Lunar New Year. Health officials are struggling to contain the outbreak as millions of people travel for the Chinese New Year. CNN's medical contributor Dr. Sanjay Gupta says the virus is highly contagious.
This is spreading human to human fourth generation, which is exactly what it sounds like. Someone spreads it to someone else, they spread it to several more people, and so on and so on. And that's where the spread and the concern about this becoming more widespread really comes from.
House Democrats have wrapped up their arguments in the president's impeachment trial in the Senate. Lawyers for President Trump will begin their opening statements at 10 o'clock Eastern time on Saturday. The proceedings are set to go for about 3 hours on Saturday, and the main defense of the president will start on Monday. And you're listening to USA Radio News.
Got an old car? You can donate it, whether it's running or not, to the United Breast Cancer Foundation and save a life. They'll even come and pick it up for free. The United Breast Cancer Foundation has saved hundreds of women's lives through their free or low-cost breast screen exams. But now they need your help. The United Breast Cancer Foundation wants to save more lives through early detection by offering women free or low-cost breast screening exams. And donating your old car, SUV, or truck, whether it's running or not, helps pay for them. Plus, you get a charitable tax deduction. Help the United Breast Cancer Foundation save lives by donating your old car, SUV, or truck. Call now for free pickup. 800-280-2144. 800-280-2144. 800-280-2144. Call right now. That number again is 800-280-2144.
Warning. If you're drowning in debt you can't afford, do not let the credit card companies trick you into thinking that you have to pay it all back, because you don't. What the credit card companies don't want you to know is that there's actually a way to get debt-free without paying off your entire debt or going bankrupt. If you have $10,000 or more in credit card debt, you now have the right to let us settle that debt for a fraction of what you owe. For free information, call Credit Associates now. 1-800-976-1460. We'll even show you how much money you could save. If you can't afford to pay off all your debt, do not let the credit card companies trick you into thinking that you have to. Call Credit Associates now for free information on how to get debt-free faster than you ever thought possible without debt consolidation or bankruptcy. We depend on your success and offer a guarantee, so there's no risk. For free information, call now. 1-800-976-1460. That's 1-800-976-1460. 1-800-976-1460.
Providing unique reporting on markets and companies since 1990. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
Welcome back. Continuing to listen to the weekend edition of the KE Report. In these final two segments, we are shifting our focus more to the resource sector. I am going to have what I think is a pretty important company update in the final segment. But before we get to that, I am chatting with Dave Erfley, founder and editor of the Junior Miner Junkie. Now, Dave, you and I spent some time together in Vancouver at the VRIC conference, and I know that, well, there were actually a number of conferences in Vancouver, and overall the mood is generally better than it was last year and even the year before. Still in no way a full-on bull market with the aisles packed and people rushing from booth to booth trying to find out what they need to buy right now, but I do want to get your comments on the moves that we've seen even recently in terms of precious metals and the underlying stocks. Now, there were a lot of companies that were presenting at the conferences in Vancouver. It does show a bit more of optimism when it comes from the company standpoint, but it's been interesting to see the lack of movement in stocks when it comes to still this encouraging nature, an encouraging chart of the gold price. How are you balancing out these two?
Yeah, it's really interesting what's happening here, Corey. You see the gold price continuing to trade at 7-year highs, and but the reasons why it's going up are not very sustainable. First, you had the geopolitical missile crisis shoot the gold price over 1600 for an overnight session, and now you've got this coronavirus, which is driving gold over 15, up to 1570 in the futures market. But if you take a look at the miners and you take a look at silver, they're basically just sitting there and saying, we don't believe this move. So I'd be very cautious in getting into any more precious metal stocks just yet. I think they're still susceptible to more corrections because I think both the miners and silver are saying, look, gold might be a bit overextended here, and once these geopolitical situations calm down, we might have a bit of a correction.
So do you think that if, say, the gold price corrects, do you also see some sort of a correction in the actual stocks, or is there a potential here where the stocks kind of hold pat and the metal corrects back to somewhere around, well, a level that it was trading at before that pop and, well, a level where we saw the stocks more or less top out at?
Well, I think that's going to depend on how the stock market corrects, because if you take a look at the U.S. equity market in particular, it's extremely overextended and due for a correction. And if it's a panic type correction, gold stocks are going to get caught up into that. I mean, who knows what's going to happen with this coronavirus, which is causing the weakness today. But if it's a slow, normal correction, then I think the gold stocks would benefit. But a harsh correction, a panic-type situation, that gold stocks are stocks, and they would get caught up as well.
Yeah, so it sounds like you're not buying or aggressively buying, that's for sure. Are you trimming positions right now, or is this simply just a hold pattern for you?
Well, I already trimmed a few positions the last few weeks and cut one position. But I'm starting to look at distressed base metal plates here. They're starting to look interesting because they really got hammered into tax loss season late last year, and some of them are starting to look interesting.
So what characteristics do you look for in these base metal stocks? Do you need to see a resource? Are you focused on, let's say, copper or zinc or lead? Where are you finding that you're most attracted to currently?
I think copper and zinc. You see funds are starting to get into copper now as the trade war uncertainties are calming down. And zinc also is starting to perk up a bit because of that. So I like to look at things that already have a resource. And the market is considering optionality plays right now because of the both a copper and, well, particularly zinc price being below $1.20. I'm taking a look at companies that have built up a very attractive resource but need a little higher metals prices. If you take a look at jurisdiction, that's very key. You know, all the same points that you look at when you're looking for a precious metals development play or an exploration play. You know, if they're in a good jurisdiction, if they're in shadow ahead frames, they've got mines all around, they've got a great management team. The management team understands that they're going to need a higher zinc or a higher copper price for their project to work. Things like that. I mean, it's if you take a look at some of these things, they just got pulverized into tax loss selling season last year, and the valuations are starting to look attractive.
So isn't this very much a similar play or even strategy to the early breakout in the precious metals, where you see some of the more defined resources, even some of the bigger companies, even though a lot of these companies have been beat down, they're the ones that start to move first, not necessarily these small, more speculative exploration plays?
Exactly. Right. Yeah. So, just earlier this week, I purchased a distressed zinc play. So, I mean, it's definitely a good idea to take a look at valuation and management and jurisdiction, all the things, the right things you need to look for. But, they're really starting to look attractive.
Now, how important is funding for these companies, too? Because, you know what, funding has started to open up a bit for the precious metals companies, but in terms of these base metal plays, well, some companies have money, a lot of them do not. So how important is it to have a fair amount of money in the bank?
Well, not only money in the bank, but it goes back to the management. Management has to have access to capital. You know, it would be nice to see a serially successful management team that has access to capital. Also, if the company has a strategic partner, like a 9.9% or a 19.9% partner in a global miner that also sees the value of the project, and that will help with capital as well.
So are you being aggressive in these plays, or is this still something where you think we have time, it's more about doing your due diligence and maybe waiting even for a further breakout or at least seeing any more fishing line sell-offs, that's when you enter these stocks?
Yeah, definitely the latter, especially getting back to the stock market, you know, being it so overextended. You know, I mean, if you see something that looks attractive and the stock is beginning to show a bottoming pattern, you know, there's really no rush to get into something like that. You just do your due diligence and do as much research as you possibly can and look for an attractive entry point on some weakness.
So a lot of these base metals plays, at least the more significant mines, they're very large in nature. They have high capex, they have long production timelines, they are very profitable when they get brought into production, but fact of the matter is the market does shy away from these higher capex projects. Do you care a lot about that when you're looking at some of these more advanced exploration stories, just how big, how much it would cost to bring something into production? Because quite frankly, these companies, they are just like all the other juniors out there, they're looking to sell to a major miner.
Yeah, that's true. It all depends. You know, if you've got a company that does have an attractive asset, but it is large capex, it's very important to have a strategic global miner partner, because they're looking at that as well. If they've got a 19.9% interest, that's where they're going to get their funding. And that is very important to look at. You know, if the capex is close to a billion or over a billion, you know, then that's going to be more difficult. But, you know, there are distressed stocks out there that have really good assets that are, you know, in the capex range between $350 and $500 million.
David, great chatting with you. We're going to wrap it up there. Some interesting comments and a bit of a different strategy, too, stepping a little bit away from these precious metal stocks. Always great to hear from you, Dave. Thanks for joining us this weekend. Have a great rest of your weekend.
Thanks, Corey. You too.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNlive.com today.
This is Fred.
Hi, I'm Fred.
Fred's a repeater.
I tend to repeat.
Fred has a business.
I do have a business.
And a problem. Fred repeats the same tired advertising over and over, and now it doesn't work.
Over and over.
But Fred is about to see a vision.
I'm seeing a vision.
Advertising on the Genesis Communications Network is the smart way for Fred to reach his potential customers with the most affordable national advertising rates, period. Get started today with GCN, the Genesis Communications Network. Just email advertise@GCNlive.com.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So how'd it go for Jake?
Did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNhemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNhemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, the inventor of My Pillow, and like all of you out there, I had problems sleeping. Pillows would go flat, I would flip-flop all night long, I would wake up with a sore neck, maybe a headache, or feel like I needed a nap even though I slept 8 hours. When I invented My Pillow, I wanted it to where you can move the patented fill to give you the exact support you need as an individual, regardless of sleep position. My Pillow will get you into that deep REM sleep faster, and you will stay there longer. It's not about how much time we spend in bed, it's about how much of that quality sleep we get. I do all of my own manufacturing right here in the United States. I have a 10-year warranty. You can wash and dry My Pillow, and I give you a 60-day money-back guarantee, so you have nothing to lose. And here's my best offer ever. You can buy one of my pillows and get one absolutely free.
Go to MyPillow.com or call 800-870-0305 and use promo code GCN. That's MyPillow.com or 800-870-0305 with promo code GCN.
These are the sounds of someone taking their eyes off the road. Texting while driving is more than distracting. It's dangerous. Do yourself a favor. Do us all a favor. When you're on the road, stay off the phone. A message from CTIA.
Welcome back here to wrap up the first hour of the weekend edition of the KE Report. As promised, we are getting a company update and more or less following up with a company that I have not had on the show for a little over a year now. The company is Adventus Mining, traded on the TSX Venture Exchange under the symbol ADZN, also on the OTCQX under the symbol ADVZF. I am chatting with the President and CEO, Christian Carl Samard. Now, Christian, as I mentioned, we didn't chat last year, but there were a lot of developments that came out of Adventus, one actually being a name change from Adventus Zinc to Adventus Mining, which I think focuses the name a little bit more on more the base metals focus that the company has, thanks to its flagship project, the Curipamba project. I want to quickly get a recap of the 2019 work. From my understanding, 2019 was de-risking a lot of this project. You came out with a maiden PEA. Please start us off with a general recap of the work that happened at the Curipamba project in 2019.
Thanks, Corey, for having me back on for an update. And yes, 2019 was a pivotal year for us. Actually, got to correct you on something. We didn't drill at all last year, and as an exploration company, not doing drilling is normally not a good thing, but we did a lot of other de-risking, and there's plenty of drilling ahead of us in 2020. But in particular at Curipamba, we published our maiden economics and a resource update. From an economics perspective, we came out with just shy of a $300 million NPV after tax, using an 8% discount rate and a 40% rate of return. We spent about $1 million over the last year plus on metallurgy. We've completed a robust flow sheet for the project, two lock cycle tests, producing very clean copper and zinc concentrates. And that really drove the excellent numbers for the study and also gave us the confidence to move directly to a feasibility study. So most of our resource is now in a measured and indicated category. We improved our grades almost across the board by 20% in our resource update. And now we're one of the highest grade undeveloped copper projects in the world with a path to production by 2023.
Okay. You did also fly some airborne geophysics, too, which ties into, I think, some of the work that's going to be done this year. We will get to the work that's going to happen this year and what has really enticed me to bring you back on the show. But take us through some of the airborne geophysics in terms of developing new exploration targets.
Yeah, we went into Ecuador on the Curry-Palmer project, not necessarily for the high-grade resource there. That was a nice to have. If we find nothing in Ecuador, we still have a mine. But it was really about the 220 square kilometer district that never had airborne geophysics done as a VMS district. Normally, airborne geophysics is one of the first things you do. So we completed that last summer, and we were very pleased with the results that came out from the program. As mentioned in our exploration update press release earlier this week, we have 15 targets. They've been ranked. We've layered on the decades of geochemical work done by various operators. We've been ground truthing the targets. There's about 10 VMS targets and about 5 porphyry targets within the district. None of them have ever been drilled. And our most exciting part of our program this year is we plan to scout drill as many of those targets as possible with 2 to 6 drill holes looking for new discoveries. They're not deep targets. The first drill rig should be turning here in the next week or so, and we'll be adding a second rig later in the year.
Okay, just one more quick comment regarding 2019, some of the financing activity. You managed to raise a lot of money last year in really what was a tough market for base metals explorers, so kudos to you on that. Take us through some of the developments in terms of bringing on some more of an institutional shareholder base as well.
Yeah, it's probably the highlight of the year for me because it validated what we were doing and the platform we created in Ecuador. The most important addition to our register was a group called Nobis. They're the largest industrial conglomerate in Ecuador. It's the first time it's the first time major Ecuadorian money has ever invested in the Ecuador mining sector. They were looking for 5 years to find the right horse, and they picked us. So they came in for about 8 million Canadian in May. And that resulted then in kind of a flurry of institutional investors joining the register. We went from about 5 institutions starting 2019 to, as of today, we're at 26. That resulted then in the 2 financings we did last year in raising $26.5 million. I should also mention we have 2 other copper gold projects in Ecuador. They're porphyry districts. And we also flew airborne on those 2 districts. We have 20 porphyry targets that came out of the programs, and we've been grooming the best 2 for drilling, which we'll be drilling this year. And I think investors really like the fact that we have 3 projects that we're all drilling for new discoveries. And in the case of the porphyry districts, we're looking at 500 million ton plus type targets, which is potentially that real hockey stick up for shareholders.
And that's one of the things that has enticed me, especially this year, for the company. I understand all the work that has taken place and the de-risking of the flagship project and really understanding that it looks like this could be a profitable mine. But this year, something that has caught market's attention throughout the last number of years is exploration drilling. And that sounds like it will at least be somewhat of the focus of the company moving through next year. Start off with some of the actual meters that you plan to drill at all 3 of these projects, please.
So at Curipamba, we have, this has all been announced this week again, a minimum 10,000 meter regional exploration program that is all targeting new targets never drilled before, and that has the potential to grow through success throughout the year. There is also a Curipamba minimum 3,000 meter drill program tied to what I call engineering related activities, so geotechnical, hydrogeology, geomechanical, that kind of stuff. That drilling program is going to kick off also in the next week or two. So you're looking at a maximum of 3 drill rigs running at certain times of the year, 1 geotechnical and 2 exploration. Our partners, the Salazars in Ecuador, own 3 drill rigs, so we'll be utilizing two for the exploration there. Then at Santiago and Pijili, our goal is to drill 5,000 to 10,000 meters total between both projects. Our priority right now would be to drill our Santiago project over Pijili. There's some timing considerations, but we'd be looking to start drilling with one drill rig on one of the two projects starting in May and having that rig continue for the rest of the year. And in particular at Santiago, what we're excited about is twinning two historical holes by Newmont. They were one hole was 325 meters of 0.5% copper equivalent from surface. The second hole was about 200 meters of 0.7% copper equivalent. Both holes ending in the best mineralization, best grade, about 0.8% copper equivalent. And our subsequent airborne work on the project shows us a very deep, large target. So we'll be twinning, at the very minimum, those two holes down to 1 to 1.5 kilometer depth. And that's our best chance to get, ideally, plus 1 kilometer of 1% copper equivalent.
Now, just as a quick little recap, when it comes to Curipamba, Santiago, and Pijili, are all the permits and everything in place, or is there still a couple hoops that you need to jump through here?
We have our water permits in place and all other permits required to drill the three projects. From an infrastructure perspective, we have camps and core shacks all in place, of course, at Curipamba, but also at Pijili. We could turn the drill on right now, actually, at Pijili, but we're doing some defensive land acquisition there. At Santiago, the one step required is we need to build a new road to the project. The road used by Newmont 20 years ago has fallen apart, and set up a camp there. So that is those activities are currently underway right now.
All right, Christian, we're going to wrap it up there, but I will keep following up with you as we get some more news, and especially when we get some drill results from this more exploration focus this year. And if anybody has any follow-up questions, please email me, fleck@kereport.com. I will get those addressed and answered for each and every one of you. That just goes for everyone, though. Please keep in touch. I love hearing from everybody. I hope you all enjoyed this first hour of the weekend show. Be sure to check back throughout the week for daily editorials covering market news and more company updates, which I did have a number of them already this week. Christian, thanks for wrapping up this first hour. Have a great weekend.
For our upcoming appearance schedule, visit kereport.com. The Corlin Economics Report will be back in just a moment.
Would you like to get back that full head of hair from years past? Introducing Reveal from GCNLife.com. Beverly Hills dermatologist Dr. Nathan Newman invented Reveal, which contains polypeptides with natural botanicals and no parabens, sulfates, silicones, or dyes for a salon-quality hair growth product. Reveal. Here's Dr. Newman.
I've treated a lot of patients who lose their hair and they lose their confidence. We've created a unique set of polypeptides, which we call HPT6. The HPT6 contains the polypeptides from six different plants. The scalp infusion treatment should be used on wet or dry scalp. The Reveal hair care system is designed to be used for men and women alike.
Get Reveal at GCNLife.com with a 30-day money-back guarantee. So try Reveal today at GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637. Plus a discount up to 25% off for Reveal at GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637.
Do the letters IRS give you anxiety? I'm Dan Pilla. I've defended people from the IRS for more than 40 years. My book, How to Get Tax Amnesty, created the tax resolution industry and is responsible for helping hundreds of thousands of people. It can help you, too. If you're a non-filer or facing IRS enforcement right now, your case is unique. You need real help, not cookie-cutter advice. My clients get my personal attention. Buy my book at danpilla.com and get a free consultation directly with me. That's danpilla.com. Let's start solving your tax problem right now.
Jose works on a farm. Safety is important. His boss calls 811 to determine where it's okay to dig. This protects Jose from hitting an underground line and from serious injury. Because Jose can't tell exactly where or how deep the lines are, He doesn't dig until 811 tells him it's safe. The most important thing is that Jose works safe and goes home to his family. For more information, visit FarmSafe811.org. A message from the Pipeline Operators for Ag Safety Campaign.